Blog Talk Radio. Traveling Culturati is all about the style and culture of travel. I'm Javon Harley, your travel pro. Join me every Saturday at noon Eastern Time exclusively on HUR Voices. You'll get travel news, travel tips, and chats all about travel. Visit the website anytime at TravelingCulturati.com and join the travel club.
You're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Javon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
You're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm your host, Javon Harley. Visit the website. It's TravelingCulturati.com. I know what you're asking. What is Traveling Culturati? Well, you already know what traveling is, but I bet you've never heard of Culturati. Culturati is a plural noun for people interested in culture and cultural activities. Put that together with traveling, it's people who travel for those cultural experiences. Culturati describes me and a lot of travelers I know. When I travel and meet people, I'm very interested in their culture. I respect their culture, and I feel that when you visit a destination, you must meet the people and find out what they're all about to get that true essence and soul of a destination. In creating a new show, I wanted to explore cultures and expand the show's philosophy to include the style and culture of travel. You see, travel itself has a culture. How you travel, where you travel, are you a budget traveler? Do you prefer the finer things? Are you a foodie? Do you like the arts? Or are you a beach bum? Well, there's no right or wrong. It's just you, your style, your culture. I'm still going to give you travel news, Javon's Travel Minute, and those great topics, but we're also going to immerse ourselves in cultural matters and have more chats. But here's what's new. I'm going to have a question of the week, the culture report, recurring special guests, and I'll be inviting you to be a guest. I want to hear from you. I'd like to have you on to talk about your style and culture of travel. Is there a certain way you like to travel? What's the culture and style of your city, your town, your state, or country? Do you have a passion? Do you travel for your passion? I want to hear from you. I want to make this a sharing and immersive experience because that's what travel is all about. This quote sums it up. We travel, some of us, forever to seek other states, other lives, other souls. So I'm inviting you to take this journey with me. Now let's get into some travel news. Delta Airlines has made it official. They filed to serve Havana, Cuba. Delta Airlines will now fly into Havana to accommodate travelers from four cities. After filing paperwork with the United States government, nonstop service will be available to provide daily flights from Atlanta, Miami, New York, and Orlando. The senior vice president of network schedule planning states that this is a historic moment for Delta, adding this new service is going to give customers more convenient options when traveling to and from Cuba. Flights from JFK and Atlanta will be taking off on Boeing 757-200 airplanes, while Orlando and Miami will be on Boeing 737-800 planes. Delta Airlines Vice President for Latin America says that they're looking forward to providing access to the island from the United States. An arrangement was signed by the U.S. government just last month for Cuba to restore scheduled commercial air service between countries. But the deadline is fast approaching for North American carriers to apply for rights to serve routes from the United States. This year, service is expected to resume to Havana, allowing authorized U.S. carriers utilize and operate 20 round-trip flights on a daily basis and 110 to Cuba's nine other cities with international airports. Cuba will be a lot easier to get to on commercial flights on U.S. carriers from the United States as early as this summer. Hyatt launches a new brand. The Hyatt Hotels Corporation just made an announcement about the launch of their new collection called Unbound. Unbound is going to be a collection of urban gems, boutique hotels, resorts, and more. Hyatt is releasing their new brand in hopes of making their brand better and a place that customers will like to go. While gaining business from the modern traveler, aka millennial, Hyatt would still like customers to take advantage of their loyalty program. The Unbound collection will launch all around the world from places like the Driscoll Hotel in Austin, Texas, Hotel du Louvre in Paris, France, the Carmelo Resort and Spa in Carmelo, Uruguay, and the lovely Coco Palms Resort in Kauai, Hawaii. The president and CEO of Hyatt Hotels wants to provide extraordinary, exclusive locations, famous architecture and designs, as well as a winning dining experience with the public. Be on the lookout for the great rewards that Hyatt has to offer and how you can take advantage of the new collection, Unbound. There's a new customer experience at LAX's Terminal 1. Westfield Company is in the process of making new, unique, and modern changes to Terminal 1 at Los Angeles International Airport, and that includes Southwest Airlines. Westfield is looking to create a pleasurable dining and shopping experience for customers. The first of three phases features the opening of six exciting brands, including Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley from Kisses, Rock and Brews. There's Be Relax, Brookstone, and I Love LA. They have Soul Surf and Treat Me Sweet. All of this means that customers will be able to get massages, libations, sweets, and other lavish treats while enjoying shopping and dining in a beautifully illuminated atmosphere. Terminal 1 is expected to be completed in 2018, but officials say that customers are already enjoying the new space. Westfield is known for their global portfolio. They design, develop, own, and manage award-winning shopping venues in large cities all across the world. They are investing a ballpark figure of about $184 million to see that they revolutionize the customer's experience at LAX's Terminal 1. Terminal by terminal, LAX is spending an awful amount of money to make LAX quite the experience. I'm just happy that airports across the U.S. are investing and upgrading because I can tell you they are much, much needed. Electronic cigarettes are now banned on all commercial flights to and from the U.S. Recently, Anthony Fox, the U.S. Transportation Secretary, announced that the final decision was made to ban the use of electronic smoking of all kinds on all commercial flights in and out of the United States. All smoking is banned on flights which now include e-cigarettes and any other battery-operated smoking devices. This ban was put in place to protect the elderly, children, and passengers that have respiratory problems so that they are not exposed to aerosol fumes and chemicals while they are in the confines of the small space. Airlines can be stuffy enough without the added fumes. So just to be clear, no e-cigarettes, no regular cigarettes, no electronic pipes or cigars, effective immediately. This should make the friendly skies much friendlier. Marriott and Starwood merger clears regulatory hurdles in the U.S. and in Canada. Marriott International and Starwood Hotels and Resorts filed papers with the Securities and Exchange Commission recently, stating that they had cleared pre-merger antitrust reviews in both the United States and in Canada. The filing notes that the waiting period required by the Hart-Scott Antitrust Improvement Acts of 1976 had expired. So that meant that Marriott and Starwood are free to move forward with their merger. They are now awaiting approval of a merger deal this year to become the biggest hotel company. The merger must still receive approval from competition authorities in the European Union and elsewhere. This means that combined customers of the brands will enjoy more locations and more rewards. The next step for the merger consists of stockholder votes on March 28th for both companies. The two companies expect the deal to close in June of this year. Just like with the airlines, we're just waiting to see what hotel brands survive this consolidation. Well, how about having Morgan Freeman's voice on your GPS? Isn't that cool? Driving Miss Daisy? Actor Morgan Freeman can now drive you. Freeman has teamed up with Google's free traffic app called Waze. You can go to Waze app and click on settings and select Morgan Freeman's voice to guide you on your way. Some are saying that this is a marketing stunt to promote his new movie, London Has Fallen. But then again, he wouldn't be the only actor to embrace this tactic. Kevin Hart and Arnold Schwarzenegger have also navigated passengers through traffic. This is a free app worth checking out. Now, the airlines are introducing a new economy class. Basic Economy is now being dubbed Economy Minus. United and American Airlines are taking a page from Delta Airlines by adding a Basic Economy or Economy Minus package. We're talking about smaller seats with less leg room, no itinerary changes or refunds. Meals, beverages, and snacks will cost extra, no seat assignments, and possibly no free carry-on bags. American Airlines is looking to start this new trend in the first half of this year. However, they have not gone on record releasing specific details of what their Economy Minus plan will look like. United Airlines has similar plans, but they too have not released a date, time, or details of their version of the new Economy Minus. This is designed for budget flyers who aren't interested in paying for extra frills. Now, the airlines can offer something for all passengers, so they say. Who's the most complained about travel advertisement of 2015? Well, it's Booking.com. Booking.com has ruffled a few feathers among viewers. Apparently, Booking.com has a controversial ad that had led people to believe that they are trying to sneak in a swear word. This incident raised an uproar with over 683 complaints from viewers who thought that the ad was offensive and negatively encouraging children. So far, none of the ads were pulled by the Advertising Standard Authority. I guess some children were taking liberties using the advertisement to get away with what would appear to be swearing. I don't know. What do you think? Changes are on the way for American Airlines Advantage program. That devaluation is scheduled on March 22nd when their award program is going to change. How you earn points and how you collect points are going to change on March 22nd. So you want to make sure that you visit the site and contact American Airlines to find out what that means for you. If you need to take action before March 22nd or if you want to go ahead and wait, because the change is coming soon. And depending on how you want to utilize your American Airlines miles, it may determine whether you need to do that before March 22nd or after March 22nd. Either way, if you have a lot of American Airlines miles, you want to develop a strategy on how to use them. This is really the end of an era because American Airlines was the first airline to establish a frequent flyer program, and now it's changing in a very big way. Well, that's it for travel news. Coming up is Javon's Travel Minute, and I'll be chatting with some very special guests. I'm Javon Harley, and this is the Traveling Culturati exclusively on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Hi, this is Javon Harley, your travel pro and host of the Traveling Culturati, with a countdown to Ghana. Ghana is a great place to start in Africa, known as Africa for Beginners. Ghana is a great destination for getting acquainted with this diverse continent. And here are several reasons why. Ghana has friendly people, traditional Ghanaian hospitality, culture, history, sea, sun, and sand. But the number one reason to visit Ghana is to join me, the Traveling Culturati, and Advantage International to see it all firsthand. So block off September and stay tuned for the complete package with all the details coming soon. Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati exclusively on HUR Voices. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
Did you know that airlines can bump passengers for being overweight? I'm not talking about the passenger. I'm talking about the aircraft. The airline's first priority is safety, and this includes ensuring that the plane is not exceeding the correct weight capacity. While not as common an occurrence as overbooking, it does happen. Various factors can limit how much weight an airplane can safely carry, and weight distribution can cause issues related to an aircraft's center of gravity. This renders the aircraft unbalanced, which can cause an unsafe takeoff or landing, or fly with a lean. I don't know about you, but I'm not okay with an airplane leaning. If an airplane cannot pass its checks and balances, they first try to offload cargo. If eliminating cargo is not an option, then passengers must go. If you are bumped by the airline, they will usually offer compensation, the same as if the flight were overbooked. The process is usually the same. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Chatting with me today are Morel Howard and Yolanda Como. These two ladies will be recurring special guests on the Traveling Culturati. Morel is a travel blogger with 10-plus years in the travel industry, specializing in pre- and post-travel. She's actually done it all. And she has traveled extensively through many tropical destinations. Yolanda, on the other hand, is a professional nurse with 20-plus years experience and 30 years in the healthcare industry. And most importantly, she's an avid traveler. Welcome to the Traveling Culturati, ladies.
Thanks for having me, Juwan.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
You.
Yeah.
Here
you've been here before. You've been special guests.
Right.
And, you know, this is going to be such a fun and immersive experience, and I can't wait to get this started. As I said, these two ladies are going to be recurring special guests and giving us some wonderful information. But first, you know what I want to do? I want to get into the essence of Traveling Culturati, the style and culture of travel. So what was your first travel experience?
Besides going to South Bend, Indiana to visit Grandma.
Yeah.
Besides
hey, that's
that,
a travel experience, a road trip.
Yes, road trip, always, 2 hours. My very first travel experience was on the train, the Amtrak train, to Los Angeles, California. We were going to a family reunion. So my mother, my brother, my cousin, and I, it took us 2.5 days to get out there. And it was a phenomenal, wonderful experience. I so enjoyed that.
Really? Now, you're leaving out a lot of good stuff, I know, because any road trip, especially with family and especially with siblings, I know it's not always a great experience. In the end, you say that was a great experience.
It was.
But in the process sometimes?
Sitting next to your brother trying to sleep and he snores and he's leaning on you, you know, not so much fun. Not so much fun. But other than that, just that experience of traveling west, being in the view car where the ceiling is glass and going through the mountains and the Grand Canyon and seeing the desert and things of that nature. That's probably where I love travel the most. That's probably where it started right there.
Yeah, it sounds like it left an imprint.
It did. It sure did.
Wow. What about you, Yolanda?
With me, I'll have to say when I used to travel at spring breaks. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and one of the teachers took us down to Florida. Yep, Florida, bus ride to Florida. I think it took probably about 14 hours. It was
a long
trip. But, you know, you're having fun. You're on a bus with a kid. And, you know, our bus broke down at some point.
Always an experience.
But anyway, yeah, spring break, I would have to say, to think about it. And, you know, we went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Along the way, we also stopped in Ohio. I don't know why we stopped in Ohio, but we went to Sandusky, Ohio to Cedar Point.
Sandusky?
Yeah.
Wow. I just went to Cedar Point a few years ago, because they are like the roller coaster capital of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And I just remember that. I remember the restaurants we went to and the food that we ate. Just having, you know, ball with the classmates.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And mine, you know, I first thought my first travel experience was going to Munich, Germany, as an exchange student. But now that you talk about when you say Disney, I had a class trip in junior high school that took me to Disney, and I had forgotten all about that. And so when you said it, it brought back those memories. But what would you say sparked that wanderlust, that need, or that strong desire to just travel?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, this might sound a little strange. Food actually sparked it for me. Watching, because I was always into watching cooking shows. It wasn't a lot when I was growing up. Now you see cooking shows. They even have their channel.
Yeah, the Food Channel.
Right, Food Channel. So I remember PBS Channel 11, you know, Jill Child and the others.
Yeah.
Watching them. But
the Galloping Gourmet.
And you always talking about French food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're listening and you're watching. You're like, wow, I really would like to try that or experience that. And she would talk about the culture. And she would, you know, make the food.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up going to culinary school, actually, you know, behind all of that.
Yeah.
So, and that also sparked into me more traveling. But I always had traveling on my mind as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew that I wanted to just go off to California sometime, you know, just be on my own and, you know, just do it. Go across the country on my own. So traveling, but food definitely was a huge influence in me just trying to get to point B.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Morel? What sparked that wanderlust?
It was a little different. My friends call me the Monica of friends. I'm always planning and hosting something at my house. My house was always a meeting house as a kid growing up, so I always would plan events. So, and as I got older, I would have positions and jobs that were event planning and coordinating. And then I began to do that for work. A good example, I was a museum coordinator, and we were planned trips to Milwaukee to a German restaurant or to Miller's Draft, that type of thing. And I would always have to call a travel agent or a company to book it for me. So with doing that, that kind of sparked my interest of traveling, saying that I'd like to travel. I like that I can just get in a bus and then just travel 2 hours away, and I'm out of my element and out of my city, and I can have a wonderful time here and then come back.
Yeah.
So that's what sparked it for me. Event planning sparked my travel.
Now, where have you traveled to?
Oh, gosh. I've traveled to Europe. I've traveled to Asia. I've traveled down to the Caribbean. And in addition to, I touched South America by way of Aruba.
Oh, okay.
I've traveled a bit, and I love all of those places.
Yeah, now I know some of the places you've traveled to, Yolanda, but because we've done some of those together. But let's talk about where you've traveled to.
Where have I traveled? Well, domestically, you know, just throughout the country, obviously, from west to west coast, east coast, throughout. But internationally, abroad, Egypt, to the continent of Africa quite a few times with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Egypt 3 times, and, you know, we went to Africa, Ghana, and West Africa, and, you know, I absolutely, absolutely, absolutely love, love, love France. Food, of course, and drinking, and the culture, and all of, and especially in Egypt, all of the iniquities, I just fell in love with it. I mean, I so want to go back, but I know there's trouble.
Well, yeah, it's still a little, a little uncertain, but people are still traveling there.
Mm-hmm.
You can still travel there. I guess it depends on what your comfort level is.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say then that France is your favorite destination? Egypt?
I would say, have to say Egypt really, really was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That really does something to me when I go there. I just love the culture. I love everything about Egypt. I absolutely love the food. I can't get enough of the sights, the sceneries, the antiquities. I just love it.
Yeah. What about you, Morel? What would you say is your favorite destination?
My favorite, if I had to pick two of them, I would say London and Puerto Rico.
Oh,
I love, love, love Puerto Rico. I love that to death. I love a beach. And then I just love London. It reminds me a lot of home here in Chicago. But I love London. And I've been to Mexico. I forgot about that. How could I forget that? Because I had food poisoning, so how could I forget that?
Oh, well, that was a memorable experience. Memorable experiences aren't always the happy ones. But they're the ones that give you those stories to tell.
Yes, yes.
It's like what had happened was.
I have tons of those. What had happened was ... I have a million of those. The things that you would see on television in a cartoon happened to me in real life.
Yeah.
Tons of those. Stay tuned for that.
But you know what? That's really what travel is all about. I think some of those experiences that I've had traveling with my groups when people have, something has gone wrong or I've had to fix something or something was challenging, mm-hmm. that makes it memorable. Mm-hmm. And you feel good when you've overcome a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know last week on the show is talking about 10 things to keep in mind when you're traveling as a couple, and especially if you're a new couple. Inevitably, something embarrassing is going to happen, so you better make sure you're comfortable with that person, or
yeah.
you're either prepared that I might not see them after this trip again, or it's going to turn out to be something long-term because that experience brought us together.
Yes, yes.
But almost always, something embarrassing can happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you just hope sometimes you're by yourself mm-hmm. when it happens, but it's yeah, not always the case.
Not a trip unless something embarrassing happens to you. It's not
yeah.
a full trip. Something embarrassing happens. Maybe that's just me then.
Yeah. Now, what would you say would be a favorite or a memorable cultural experience?
For me, it would be the classic Italy, meaning Venice, Florence, and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
The going from the food in Venice and taking the boat on the canal, eating a different food or a different pizza every single day, and then going to Florence. One of my favorite memories was eating a cannoli outside of the train station and looking at the receipt because it was so delicious. I got it on there. I'm not going to waste this butter cream. And it was raining outside, but riding a bike with a helmet on the Arno River, it was amazing. It was just amazing. And then going to Rome, I'm Catholic, and going to Rome and visiting the Vatican and getting busted taking a photo in the Sistine Chapel because you're not supposed to take photos. So I hid it under my shawl, and I'm looking up and taking photos of that and getting in trouble, having the guard say, no photos, no photos. You know? That was my favorite cultural event from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was amazing. One of the best trips I've ever taken.
Yeah, Italy is very immersive, and I think that the people there make it that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And you just jump in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I want to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And they enjoy life. They have that joie de vivre. And
when in Rome, do what the Romans
exactly.
do. Literally, yes, I did.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What about you, Yolanda?
I would have to say when I went to France, I thought that was a really memorable trip when we traveled to the Champagne. We went to, we took a high-speed train to Champagne, France,
mm-hmm.
and we went down Champagne Road, I guess it was,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
we were passing all the Champagne houses, and we actually had lunch. I thought that was so beautiful, just having lunch. And this one Champagne house. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it either. And I think I may have devoured the last bottle of champagne I got from the Champagne house. But it was a small castle. It was one of the things that we did is we mixed it up. We went to a large Champagne house. We went to a small boutique Champagne house. And the guy lived there at the
right.
castle. And we had the Sabre and we had champagne
yeah.
tasting. And then we had this wonderful, wonderful lunch there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how he showed you how to properly open a bottle of champagne, and how he took out this huge champagne was just flowing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just thought it was just such a wonderful trip. And my husband and I, we ate along the ocean front, the waterfront.
In the Seine River.
Oh, wow,
mm-hmm.
that was absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they brought out this huge seafood dinner for
mm-hmm.
us with fresh lobster and just shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just piled high.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were just, you know, and the weather was wonderful. Champagne was flowing. The you know, hotels that we stayed in were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a beautiful trip.
Absolutely yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah, and the funny thing I remember about that trip, everyone raves about it, and I had to laugh afterwards. I said, maybe it's because we drank every day for lunch and for dinner. Every day was a different drinking experience. But it doesn't sound, I mean, it's not the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
We visited champagne houses, and we went to Bordeaux. We had
mm-hmm.
our oenology done, which is kind of like your zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your astrology for wine.
Yeah.
So that you can determine what kind of wines you like, yeah. and having lunch at the Eiffel Tower, and everything had every meal
that was actually
had
the first stop.
And
out the plane.
And every meal had wine or champagne pairings. And I, you know, what I remember about that is going down that street where it was nothing but champagne house after champagne house, I felt like I was in Beverly Hills and I was seeing celebrity homes. I was like, oh, there's Dom Perignon. Oh, my goodness, there's Moët. I mean, really, these champagne houses, because I don't get excited over celebrities, but those champagne houses
yes.
felt like celebrities.
Everybody was jumping around. And we was on the bus driver, slow down, slow down. You know, he was like just flying past. We were like, wait, there's that.
We were calling out these names.
I love
so,
it. I love
yeah, it.
It
was kind of like the celebrity spotting,
yes,
the
yes.
celebrity of champagne, you know.
So nice.
That was a lot of fun. I would have to say for me is Basque Country, and I went to Basque Country in Spain. What I love about Basque Country is that, and I have to say, I hope it doesn't change, they don't have many things that are geared toward tourists.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, this is who we are. You come and you visit us,
okay.
and you experience our way of life. But I know with anything, things do change. I know that they already have a Guggenheim, and I know that they are just last year or 2 years ago got one of those big department stores. But
okay.
prior to that, they didn't have any of those mm-hmm. things. It was an old industrial town. And it's kind of developed from there. Well, Bilbao was an old industrial town. But the whole area of Basque really is a cultural immersion. It's from their different wines and their different style of food they call pinchos. Everything's put on top of bread. Anything you can put on top of little rustic bread rounds, it's called pinchos. And you go from bar to bar drinking chocolí, which is this, it's not a high-end wine. It's a table wine. It's a white wine. And you drink chocolí and you eat these pinchos. We were eating pinchos for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But we also visited some of the cheese farms, and they're very critical on the type of cow it is and the type of milk it produces.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they have this beautiful cheese called Idiazabal, and it's a very sharp cheese, kind of like a pecorino or Parmesan, something like that. And also we had some of that ham. Oh, my goodness.
Like
this ham was like $1,000 for a leg of ham, this smoked ham. Oh, my goodness, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mine. Yolanda, what was the first group trip you signed up for?
The first group trip was domestic trip. It was going to Washington, D.C. for the Road to Freedom.
That's right. We
yeah.
did the Road to Freedom, which was a mapped out tour of African-American history or black history through D.C., Maryland,
right.
and
Virginia. That was a
Virginia.
Fun trip.
Yeah.
And talking about memorable, I thought that was very memorable when we did the cultural walk down the historic streets. We did like a trip. We were walking down a historic street, and there were these women who were in costume as
mm-hmm.
if they were like slaves.
The Williamsburg area in Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about the Williamsburg area in Virginia.
But the thing was, we didn't know what was happening,
right.
what we were going to see, or what we thought we were going to someone home. I'm not sure. I didn't get to work.
And it was at night.
It was at night.
And yeah.
She was walking with the street.
A lantern, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, okay, and she's in this costume, like she's in, it's like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But it was really a good, you know, little memorable gesture there.
Yeah, I remember that. I was happy to find this gentleman that did this reenactment, and it was very tastefully done.
Very.
But it kind of put you in that mindset of it being a little frightening and not knowing what's going
mm-hmm.
on, and here he comes with this lantern in the middle of the night and he's escorting you. So yeah. Oh, thanks for remembering that.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. So what do you think you like about group travel the most?
Well, group travel, the reason why I was traveling with the group or started traveling with the group, because I was a single traveler. I did not have anyone traveling with me. I would ask people, you know, hey, why don't we go here, why don't we go there, but they always seem to back out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I didn't, you know, I wasn't married, so I was just, you know, traveling alone. So group traveling helped me on that path of my traveling. So got to know a lot of people. It was kind of like you were traveling with someone.
Right.
When you were traveling, even though you were by yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and there is a culture in group travel. Everybody has their has their place in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and we were, some people were paired with roommates, mm-hmm. if that's what they wanted. And at the time, in the beginning, I was getting paired with roommates. They worked out. I was fine with, you know, roommate at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy group traveling. Yeah.
Now, you're a nurse, and you've been in the healthcare industry for many years, and so you may approach or have a different philosophy or think of traveling a little differently than maybe things I don't think about. What would you say is your approach to staying healthy while you travel?
Well, one thing that I definitely do, when I know that I'm taking a trip, and if it's a long flight, a trip that's long way, I prepare myself days before by what I'm eating. I try not to eat heavy, at least for at least two days prior, because you're going to feel so overloaded. I mean, you're going to be sitting on the flight for X amount of hours. You can get constipated. If you're not
taking gas.
Yeah, gas. I mean, gas, constipation, all of that,
yeah.
Because you're getting dehydrated from just being on such a long flight.
Mm-hmm.
You're not as hydrated as you were if you were not traveling.
Right.
So constipation can be very mean to you if you have.
Especially if it's a long flight.
If it's a very long flight. Yeah. So that's why people are so groggy and just mean after they get off such a long flight. They just want to get out of their bags and get to their hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Try to eat like, I eat like yogurt, fruit, or, you know, having salads a couple of days prior.
Yeah.
You know, nothing heavy, nothing greasy, oily.
Good to know. I don't eat too much, but, you know, prior, just in, even though I love food, but that is very good to know, to watch what you eat leading up to that.
Yeah.
Because you never know what may happen. The flight may be delayed or something, and your stomach is not agreeing with you. So
right.
That is great to know.
And definitely stay hydrated.
Well, now I can use that excuse for medicinal purposes. I usually try to lose weight before I go on a trip because I know I'm going to gain weight on the trip.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to equalize it. Now, Marelle, you've been in the travel industry for 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
What sparked that decision to get into the traveling industry?
Leading back to my event planning industry, I was planning events and I was doing it on the side. And one of my very, very good friends, Tony Simmons, I used to play in an NFL. He said, instead of always calling someone to do your own travel, why don't you become your own travel agency? So I partnered up with him, and I literally went to travel agent school. And I learned how to work the system and the booking system and booking engine and things of that nature. And we actually ran our own agency for about 6 months out of our house, our kitchen, you know, dining room table. So that's what made me want to do this, you know, from that, because I said, well, you know, I love traveling and I can plan it, and I'm a type A personality control freak.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do that, you know, a better way to plan someone's event.
So once you got into it, what do you think is your favorite, or what is it that you like the most about it?
Honestly, creating memories, making memories for people, making memories for my clients, putting together their itineraries, and letting them know that good customer service. If you know, a good example in Florence, if you go to that bakery outside the train station, right across from McDonald's, ask for a pistachio cannoli. It's going to be the best in life. You know, that type of thing. You know, so
okay.
Memory.
Now, what would you say is the most challenging?
The most challenging for me is when something is broken. And it's easy for me to say that from the comfort of my desk and my computer. And I have a client that's out that lost their passport or lost their luggage, and they're at the airport and they're standing in this line and they're spazzing out because they have a dinner event in 3 hours and their favorite dress was in their luggage.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, so that's challenging because I try to think about it. I try to fix that before it happened, buy travel's insurance. But now they still need that dress and those shoes, that type of thing. So that could be challenging, but I always fix it.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me, Yolanda and Morel. And I can't wait until we start the journey, and the audience will know a little bit more about you. I'm going to go to break, but I want to make sure that you stick around because I've got some champagne for us. Actually, it's some sparkling wine from South Africa that I just brought back.
Excited.
Yeah.
I will say thank you.
Now, remember, Yolanda and Morel will be recurring guests on the Traveling Culturati. Yolanda will give us health tips, and Morel will give us ideas on what to do pre and post. Stay tuned for the Culture Report and the Question of the Week. What's the difference between immigration and customs? I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm Javon Harley. The website is travelingculturati.com. Check it out and email me. I want to hear from you. This is a brand new show with a brand new attitude. It's all about the style and culture of travel. The Culture Report takes us to the Indibele women of South Africa. The Indibele culture is a beautifully distinctive one. Their appearance and attire is unique and striking. They shave their heads, adorn themselves with lavish beaded designs, colorful blankets, and stacked gold-colored rings worn around their necks, arms, and legs. And their homes are colorfully painted with trademark geometric murals. The origins of the Indibele of South Africa are said to have come from present-day KwaZulu-Natal about 400 years ago. They migrated to the north, with the majority living in the former homelands of Kwa Indibele and Leboa. The way they adorn themselves is a statement of social status and age. More elaborate beadwork on their blankets, aprons, skirts, tiaras, and other adornments indicate a married woman. The most noticeably are the brass rings that are worn around the necks, arms, and legs. Some can weigh up to 40 pounds. The artwork painted on the Indibele home, or umuzi, is uniquely done by the women. Each umuzi is an expression of that family and is based on her own expression and experiences. The artwork and murals are of bold colors in triangular, rectangular, and geometric shapes. The vibrant artwork and skill is all done freehand without sketches, rulers, or any other instruments. And it's passed down from mother to daughter. Their artwork is highly sought after, and today adorns airplanes, cars, and other contemporary assignments. The most famous Indibele artist is Esther Malangu. She's internationally acclaimed. In 1991, she was commissioned by BMW to paint one of their cars. Her designs were also reproduced in 1997 on the tails of a British Airways plane. And some techniques were used by the artist to paint the new Fiat 500 for the exhibition Why Africa. Her most public works are the murals of the Indibele Open Air Museum at the Batsabelo Historical Village. On one of my many trips to South Africa, I had the pleasure of visiting the Indibele. The homes were artfully decorated as if they were in competition with each other. The women of the community came together, however, and painted their church with designs representing the entire community. On my visit, I had the pleasure of having lunch with a family. We sat on the floor, men separate from the women, and we ate with our hands. We had roasted chicken, pap, which is similar to our grits, and we were supposed to have some greens, but the young lady who was picking them came up on a snake. She dropped what she had picked, and she ran off. So I guess I can forgive her for not having greens with our lunch that day. I probably would have done the same thing. But the highlight was visiting the Esther Malangu Indibele Arts. And to my surprise and luck, Esther Malangu herself was there. I had the privilege of witnessing her and other elders pass down this beautiful and colorful tradition to the young girls. I even bought one of her paintings, and it's hanging in my house. It's something that I love looking at every day as a reminder to the experience that I had visiting the Indibele women. Getting off the beaten path and experiencing the Indibele culture up close was a remarkable experience and one that I will forever treasure.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.